You may be seated. A homily may be a brief commentary on scripture that has just been read, and in the Episcopal Church, probably most often that is a commentary on the gospel. But a sermon is whatever the preacher makes it. It may expound on the scripture. It may be an evangelical sermon that concludes with an altar call. It may be a ranting damnation. And I know that in the church where my mother grew up, she said Dr. Abney always preached against something, whiskey or cards or dancing or especially going to the baseball game on Sunday afternoon. Or a preacher may recall dear and personal memories that encourage others to take their own journey back in time. And that's what I'm going to do a little bit with you in the next couple of minutes. With our children so blessing us today, Mother's Day, I want to remember a time in my own life when Mother's Day became very special to me. When I was a boy, it was not unusual for my family, my mother and father and my brother and sister and I, on the Mother's Day weekend to pile into the car on Saturday afternoon and drive over to Pensacola to visit my mother's parents, my grandparents, Mamie and Walter Gentry, and stay overnight in their house where Mama grew up. Their house, that house was lived in unchanged from about 1915 when my grandfather bought it and the Gentry family moved from directly across the street in the house that they had been renting over there. And my mother had memories of moving day with family and neighbors carrying furniture and chairs and sofa and beds and mattresses and pots and pans and blankets and pillows and clothes on clothes hangers, piece by piece across the street to 1317 East Strong Street, their new house. That house is still there. Sentimental wretch that I am, I drive by most times when I'm in Pensacola just for old times. And last summer, as I was driving through Pensacola, I stopped out front, took a few pictures, drove around the neighborhood a bit just to refresh old memories, including driving to their church, which was very close by. My grandparents expanded the house after my mother grew up. In 1939, Mama's brother's wife, Margaret, died at age 25, and Wilbur, Mama's brother, moved back into the house with his two little children, Margaret Ann, who was 4 1/2, and Bill, 2 1/2. The house had been 2 bedrooms and 1 bath, tiny, we might think, for a family of 5 Gentry children who grew up there in the 19-teens and 20s and 30s, but it was actually very spacious. It was a big house with high ceilings and huge rooms. But with the return of their grown son and 2 grandchildren, my grandparents added a bathroom downstairs and the 2nd floor on the back of the house with 2 more bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs. And that was my Gentry grandparents' home and life all my growing up years. I loved them. I loved them dearly. I still love them to this day. I love visiting them. I love my two first cousins my age who live there with them. And this morning is about Mother's Day, and so I'm not going to discuss, maybe another time, I'm not going to discuss this morning our later teen years there when my grandparents would go out for several hours, 2 or 3 evenings a week, to visit friends and play cards with different friends around town. And my cousin Bill and I would take the keys to whichever car they left behind and take it out to see how fast a Chrysler V8 would go on the back streets and neighborhoods of Pensacola after dark. We never got caught, and we were always gone before the cops showed up. Why am I telling this? Well, I'm not there yet. If you were at my grandparents' house on Sunday morning, you got up, You had no choice about it. You got up, you got dressed, you had breakfast, you went to church, Sunday school and church at East Hill Baptist Church, which was just around the corner and two blocks left across Cervantes. It was a large brick church. It was a place I loved dearly. Singing the good old Baptist hymns, which I still love, going to Sunday school with Bill, my first cousin, in his class of six or eight boys just his age who had been together since their nursery days. They have a wonderful way of doing Sunday school and growing up in your Sunday school class. When we were there on Mother's Day, my mother and her sister, my Aunt Mildred, did not go to church with us, but they would stay home from church helping my grandmother with Sunday dinner. And once again, I don't intend to stray out, so I'm not discussing the Sunday dinner that they fixed of fresh grated cream corn pudding and mashed potatoes with brown gravy and loaded up with whipping cream and green beans and a platter of fried chicken piled at least 2 feet high, not to mention the sweet iced tea. I won't discuss those things. So, but what I want to tell you about is the five of us children were herded into my grandmother's Chrysler sedan, and this was years earlier and earlier Chryslers from our later teenage years. We're herded into the car with our grandfather, who was driving, and it would just be the five kids and our granddaddy. And he had been a member and deacon at East Hill Baptist Church since a year after the church's 1906 founding. And he was a member of his own men's Sunday school class who had grown old together. We called him Daddy Walt. He hardly ever missed Sunday school and church in all his 90 years. Well, as Daddy Walt swung the Chrysler into his regular parking place at the church corner, and I don't think anybody else would dare take Mr. Gentry's parking spot, he would turn to us in the back seat, and I've probably told you this before, dole out a nickel to each of us, to each child. I was delighted the first time that happened because I thought I was getting my allowance. But he said, it's for your Sunday school offering. Remember, a nickel. This was over 70 years ago, and 5 cents was a respectable gift in those days. And again, on Mother's Day, which was very special in that church and in my mother's family, he would turn around and pin a flower on us, on each of us, a flower on the girl's dress and a flower on the lapel of our jacket for the boys. And there'd be a red carnation for me and Gina and Walt, my brother and sister. And for Margaret Ann and Bill, there would be a white carnation. And the first time I asked about that, why are yours white and ours red? Margaret Ann, my cousin, told me, yours is red because your mother is alive. Ours is white because our mother is dead. And that struck me with shock the first time. As a little boy, and even yet today, I could not imagine the horror, anything worse than losing my mother. As we walked to the Sunday school classes on those Mother's Day mornings over those several years that we did that, my heart would go out to every child who was wearing a white flower. There's something in the human brain that will not let go of memories that impress with very deep emotion. And I was young. I remember very, very young, but I remember when Margaret Ann and Bill's mother died because I was there in Pensacola. And I was there because here in Panama City, my mother was about to give birth to my brother Walt. My mother was quite ill at the time. And so my grandparents came over from Pensacola to get me, and they took me back to Pensacola for a while. And as it turned out, Margaret died the very same day my brother was born. My memory that I'm sharing with you this morning, my memory is of Margaret's open casket in the living room of my grandparents' home, flowers all around it. Late the night before the funeral there in the house, after everyone else in the house was asleep, my aunt Mildred, my mother's sister, took me and Bill and Margaret Ann into the living room to see their mother. And I will tell you that this is not meant to draw your tears. It was July 1939, I was almost 4 years old, and it's one of my earliest and most beloved and cherished memories. The four of us, Mildred, who was 18 years old at the time, Margaret Ann at 4 1/2, and Bill at 2 1/2, looking at her lying there in the casket. And I remember, it's still in my mind today, Mildred saying, "Isn't she beautiful?" My cousin Bill died some years ago, but Margaret Ann lives in Texas. And not too long ago, in an email, I asked her whether she remembered that night. And she said, "I do remember. It's the only memory I have of my mother." Our visit that evening, 75 years ago now, was a gift. It was a gift of a lifetime. And over those years, I thought of that gift every time I saw a child wearing a white carnation on Mother's Day. And when it comes to mothers, we are all children. At East Hill Baptist Church on Mother's Day in those years, they always sang a hymn, "Faith of Our Mothers Living Still." You will not likely hear it in the Episcopal Church. For some reason, we feel we're too sophisticated for songs that are sweet and sentimental, but I always loved it. And it's the same tune, "Faith of Our Fathers." "Faith of Our Mothers Living Still," in cradle song and bedtime prayer, in nursery lore and fireside love, thy presence still pervades the air. "Faith of Our Mothers Living Still, we will be true to thee till death." "Faith of Our Mothers Living Faith, fount of our childhood's trust and grace. Oh, may thy consecration prove source of a finer, nobler race. Faith of our mothers, guiding faith for youthful longing, youthful doubt. How blurred our vision, blind our way, thy providential care without. Faith of our mothers, Christian faith is truth beyond our stumbling creeds. Still serve the home and save the church, and breathe thy spirit through our deeds. Faith of our mothers, Christian faith, we will be true to thee till death." My mother was raised in a strong Southern Baptist home with a very strong Christian faith. And because of that, I myself grew up, although an Episcopalian, memorizing Bible verses and doing Bible sword drills with Mama, just the two of us at the dining room table. I can't do sword drills anymore, and my brother and sister have said that she never did that with them. But I still hold all the Bible verses in lifelong memory, including the 23rd Psalm that we just said from the King James Bible. One of my earliest memories from my mother, whose very own Bible I have here on our altar this morning. Some of you knew my mother. My mother lived past age 99. Her birthday was May 7th. She would have been 102 this past Wednesday. Mother's Day and her birthday always got mixed up together in my growing up years, and you weren't quite sure who was getting what occasion she was getting the presents for, you know, whether it was Mother's Day or birthday. It was always that way. It's Mother's Day. I'm entitled to wear a white carnation. It's Mother's Day. It's a day to bless God for all mothers everywhere, and for their mothers before them, and for their mothers before them, and for Mary, the mother of our Lord, and all the way back to Eve with Adam in the Garden of Eden. If you're a mother, or if you love a mother, or if you have loved a mother, my prayer this morning is that you may find God's love in the gifts of song and joy and word and service that our children offer today for you and to God Almighty. Please stand for the Apostles' Creed, page 5 in your worship booklet.